Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14. The material world as the great forest of enjoyment. Text number 3. We all know it's prose, so if you don't mind, maybe you can just say the word for word together. Atta, in this way. Cha, also. Yatra, in which. Kotumbika, the family members. Dara apatya, Adaya, beginning with the wife and children. Namna, by name only. Karmana, by their behavior. Vrikashrigalaha, tigers and jackals. Eva, certainly. Anichita, of one who desires not, excuse me, of one who does not desire to spend as well. Api, certainly. Kardas yasya, being too miserly. Katumbina, who is surrounded by family members. Uranakavat, like a lamb. Samrakshamanam, although protected. Mishita, of one who is observing. Api, even. Haranti, they forcibly take away. Before I even begin reading the verse in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, as you may notice, my voice isn't full strength. A few days ago, I didn't even have a voice, and I didn't realize it's a common occurrence this time of year for many devotees. So I thought I would make mention. We've heard that Pundarik Vidyaniti, when he heard one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, he went into solid ecstasy for a number of hours. Who would be a better protector than Krishna, who gave one Putana, demon witch, who tried to kill him, liberation in service in terms of being a nursemaid, motherly role. And we also heard that Srivas Thakur, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam over in Koladweep from a non-devotee. Wasn't even a Vaishnava. Devananda Pandit was a nonsense, puffed up scholar. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam and he began crying out and rolling in ecstasy. Nonetheless, it was almost like Srila Prabhupada saying, would you please take the child out, the crying child. Grabbed him and threw him out on the street. Wouldn't it be nice if we could hear Srimad Bhagavatam with such devotion? Wouldn't it be nice? Here's a practical tip. I try to follow it every day in a Bhagavatam class, when I'm in Bhagavatam class, or when reading at home. If you pray for the speaker to your worshipable deity or master, that he might speak something, he or she might speak something that would please them, the transcendental message as it is. And if you also pray that the audience might hear the transcendental message, that it enter the ears and soften the heart, I'm convinced that if you'll do this as a daily practice, that you are getting to that point that much quicker, where we'll really relish the Bhagavatam and please Krishna by our attentive devotional hearing. So if you don't mind saying a prayer for this insignificant devotee, I would appreciate it. Certainly all the Prabhus deserve your best wishes and prayers. Translation, my dear king, family members in this world go under the names of wife and children, but actually they behave like tigers and jackals. A herdsman tries to protect his sheep to the best of his ability, but the tigers and foxes take them away by force. Similarly, although a miserly man wants to guard his money very carefully, his family members take away all his assets forcibly, even though he's very vigilant. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One Hindi poet has sung, Dinka Dakini Ratka Bhagani Pala Pala Rahupu Se. During the daytime, the wife is compared to a witch, and at night she is compared to a tigress. Her only business is sucking the blood of her husband both day and night. During the day, there are household expenditures, and the money earned by the husband at the cost of his blood is taken away. At night, due to sex pleasure, the husband discharges blood in the form of semen. In this way, he's bled by his wife both day and night. Yet he's so crazy that he very carefully maintains her. Similarly, the children are also like tigers, jackals, and foxes. As tigers, jackals, and foxes take away lambs, despite the herdsman's vigilant protection, children take away the father's money, although the father supervises the money himself. Thus, family members may be called wives and children, but actually, they're plunderers. Don't you wish you were sitting here? Srila Prabhupada ki Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Pancha Kapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patitam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One of my dear Prabhus, Ganagamya Prabhu, could attest to the fact back in 1976, 75, etc., Sannyasi comes to Dallas, Texas, where we were doing service, and if he would have had this verse, ooh my goodness, it'd be a different class than what you're going to hear me speak on. Jackals, foxes, tigers, sucking the blood day and night. At that time in our movement, there was this imbalance. There was actually the hugest Sankirtan party that would go temple to temple, preaching just like this, and encouraging and convincing many a young man to give up their wife, give up their children, or simply give up their temple services so that they could be brahmacharis, actual devotees, and not be in Maya. Make a long story short, when it came to Srila Prabhupada's ears right here in Mayapur Dham, Prabhupada took his right-hand man, an empowered Vaishnava, out of that service. Shocking, to say the least, because they were distributing more books than anybody. And this Goswami didn't have a clue what he was going to do. What do I do? Go to China? Yes, that's a good idea. No, no, Prabhupada. So, even when we're messed up in our understanding of Krishna consciousness, if one is trying his best to please Guru and the Vaishnavas, It all works out by the grace of Guru and Krishna. And now when I look out and see so many wonderful devotees and see the Asians, the Chinese here, it's a result of that very imbalanced, dysfunctional, sexist understanding of this kind of purport. Now don't get me wrong, I think with folded hands, if the acharyas can call Maya an ugly witch, then I think that I can get away with saying she's the biggest, best con artist in the universe. She is convincing everybody, 99.9% of the human beings anyway. And then if we take all the lower species, then it's not even that. It's practically 100% are buying into the fact that I can be happy in sex life, that my family can give me happiness, can give me shelter, that this is what I'm really looking for. This will make me happy. If you hear attentively the message of Srimad Bhagavatam as given by Srila Prabhupada, you will hear him say time and time again, there is no happiness in this material world. Now that's a big pill to swallow for the conditioned soul. It's a big pill. It has to really be sugar-coated for most of us. And so as Pragosh Prabhu yesterday was advising, it's best to make friendship with the scientists if you're going to preach to them. For that, Matt, that was an instruction that His Holiness Srupa Damodar Goswami got from Srila Prabhupada. Make friends with the scientists, then preach. It's not bad advice in preaching to anybody. We're all looking for love. It's the natural constitutional position or identity of each and every one of us. We want love desperately, and yet we're not finding it in this material world. And even if you have, I'll speak personally or from the male perspective, you have a wonderful wife. I've been married how many years? Forgive the 30 years. By Prabhupada's kindness, I have a god sister, a friend, a Prabhu that I've somewhat learned to try and be humble with, sometimes try to serve, and certainly I've developed gratitude for the ways in which she has helped me in so many ways. So even if you don't want to buy the fact that there is no happiness in this material world, and you get a good marriage and a good partner to try and serve Guru and Krishna with, the reality of it is, as Krishna says, it's temporary. Dukalaya ashashvatam. This verse and purport is not talking about the Prabhus in this room. It's not talking about the devotees. It's talking about the Grihamedis. They've been conned by Maya, as you and I were, or would be, if not by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives. What else is there if you don't find devotional service and devotee association? Sex pleasure is the greatest pleasure in this world. That's what Shastra says. Now a heroin addict might argue with you and say, no. But I'll accept Shastra. And I've experienced it. I think it's okay to repeat an instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave to one of my ex-sannyasi god brothers. It was interesting, he gave him this instruction when he was a sannyasi. He said, the next time you have sex, look at the face of the woman and you'll see how she's in pain. What we think is the greatest pleasure is painful. And even if you say it's bliss, it's over like that. The con man, the con artist, putting out the, oh, no worry, you're getting old. We've got a pill to take care of that. Your wife doesn't want you climbing all over anymore? No worry. Hey, there's maids and wives and brides that you can get in another far distant corner of the earth that are just waiting to lovingly serve you. It's a shame because this is a fact. In this world, we're all envious of each other. We have to be because we're envious of Krishna. That's why we're here. As Padmalochan Prabhu said near the end of his manifest pastimes or his days with us, he said sex is simply envy of Krishna. To the degree that we've developed some attraction to Krishna, those are heavy words. To those of us who have a personal relationship with our spiritual master, the last thing you possibly want to do is displease him, because he is giving you your everything. He's given you an identity. He's given you a blessed life. He's given you devotional service of the standard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vraja Bhakti, pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna, the most wonderful loving personality, who has the full ability to completely reciprocate with our love and satisfy us unlimitedly. And even better, it never ends. That ticket has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We do not want to displease him. We don't need... Well, I won't say it that way. It is good to hear, Nagatika Topi. If you displease the spiritual master, no telling where you'll end up. Most of us want to end up with our spiritual master, with Srila Prabhupada, in the spiritual world, eternally serving Radha and Krishna. Some of us wanting to also eternally serve Lord Chaitanya and his eternal associates. And that's our birthright if we understand this message that's being given as it is. Yesterday, after a wonderful Bhagavatam class, I had some thoughts. And although it wasn't said or implied, because I know I'm not the only one who has a rascal mind that's ever vigilantly looking for loopholes in the philosophy that sense gratification's okay. When I hear we don't want to disturb somebody in presenting Krishna consciousness, that inch by an immature devotee can be, what's that thing they put in something to make it wider, 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 cranking it? What do they call those things? A vise. Is that how you? So you get an inch. The last thing we want to do, if we want to please our spiritual master, is change his message. If we change the message, then the value of me or you or anybody else speaking has no value. As Srila Prabhupada said, in terms of when you say, I think, you ought to go to the closet, shut the door, and finish the rest of the sentence inside the closet. I was personally in Vrindavan when I heard Prabhupada raise his voice angrily. Who has changed this? I did not say that. If they change one word in my book, they can ruin this entire movement. In the same vein, I wasn't looking for it. I went on the computer. I went on a God Brothers web face page. He had a quote from the Transcendental Diary by Harisari Prabhu, where Prabhupada asked him, you remember reading in Easy Journey to Other Planets how I said years ago that it is not possible to go to the moon planet by Sputnik or space ship? And Harisar said, actually, Prabhupada, I haven't read that since I first joined. I haven't read it in years, so I don't remember. Prabhupada picked up his own book, and he read it cover to cover over the next few days. And the then editor, Hayagriva Prabhu, had edited that out. Why? Because he didn't think the scientists would believe it. No scientist will believe we cannot go to the moon by spaceship. Prabhupada was furious. He chastised his disciple, who like an idiot tried to be defensive and not accept it humbly. He went to his room, and when Harisari came later on, I agree with Prabhu. Said, what's the big deal? Why is he giving me such a hard time? You know, nobody's going to believe you can't go to the moon. Saw it right there on TV. And Harisari chastised him. You think you can change the message of the spiritual master? You know more than Srila Prabhupada? What gives you the right? And he left angrily. And in a short while, Hayagriva Prabhu went to Srila Prabhupada begging forgiveness. There are other pastimes, but time is quick and short. My main point is this purport. It's not the kind of purport you want to read to somebody when they first become introduced to Krishna consciousness. As devotees, we shouldn't feel uncomfortable about it. Because, as I said, it doesn't pertain to us. Srila Prabhupada, on a morning walk with Vishakha Devi Prabhu and a couple other women, he was talking about women are less intelligent. It was a thing at that time, their brain substance weighs less, etc. Prabhupada was on a roll. He was sticking to his guns. Krishna says less intelligent. Same with us Shudra men, etc. But less intelligent. And then he stopped and he pointed to his female disciples. He said, these women, their association will liberate you. So there's nothing wrong with household or ashram at all when used in the service of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Let's see if I can pull this off. Krihe tako vani tako sadhari boli tako nam gai gora marish. Krihe tako vani tako sadhari boli tako suke duke bolo nako vadane hari nam koro re. I wouldn't have done much better even if I did have a voice. But what does it mean? Whether you're a householder or a sannyasi, it doesn't matter. Constantly chant Hari, Hari. Do not forget this chanting, whether you're in a happy condition or a distressful one. Just fill your lips with Hari Nam. Now, because we live a blessed life, most of the time we tolerate the inconveniences of this body, this mind, of each other, of the elements. Yeah, we'll give lip service. God, it's getting hot, isn't it? Getting hot. Some devotees couldn't wait to get out of Mayapur to go back to where... One devotee said, I'm going to get in the snow and do a snow angel. If you know what that is, it means he's lying on the ground and just, quote unquote, in ecstasy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, whether you're happy or not, reality is, materially speaking, you're not happy. And if you think you are, you're an illusion. You're just temporarily distracted from one of the pains that is ailing you right now. My behind's getting a little warm sitting on the cushion. My knee, I've set the way I can, so it's not ailing me. My voice, it's somewhat of a pain in the behind. Wish I could speak, then I could be my usual over-the-top theatrical self. But I could ask each and every one of you, and you'd probably have at least one thing you could say that's bothering you right now. Now, there is a purport to that. But I want to finish that statement so I don't lose train of thought. The fact of the matter is we are always in some kind of anxiety or distressful or unhappy situation, experience. That's the body. It's a bag of disease. It's a bag of misery. The good news is it's not me. It's not you. In fact, this verse and all the other verses in this chapter, they're dealing with the symptoms of the disease. The disease isn't that I have a wife, I have children. Yeah, you're right. I work like a dog. Back in those days, one sannyasi used to say, work like a dog to enjoy like a cockroach. Hare Krishna. I'm so glad those days are gone. But I affectionately call my work the salt mines, and yeah, the money's gone. I don't have any money. But what's the attitude? The attitude is, I'm not this body. And if I'm not this body, anything that pertains to the body isn't mine. This miser in this voice doesn't realize, lose your money, it never was your money. It's not your money, it's not my money. If it was, we wouldn't lose it. When you can lose something, you're not the real proprietor. Chanchala Lakshmi, in this world, she's a fickle young lady. Why shouldn't she be? If you're not going to engage Lakshmi, facilities given to you, lent to you, in the service of her master, her lord, why should she hang around with us? Countless examples. Chatur was sharing with me this guy named Kevin Trudeau made $39 million on these learn how to cure cancer and all the other diseases in the way in which they don't want you to know. Thumbed his nose up at the AMA. Make a long story short. All the money's gone. Fighting the legal battles they put him through to drag him down. You're not going to thumb your nose up at our system. It's just one of countless examples. We're not the body, and it's the first thing that we hear in Krishna consciousness. Sambandha gyan. You walk in the door, you're told you're not the body. Some of us are still trying to realize that. In Grihastha Ashram is a good way to do it for 9 out of 10 of us gentlemen. Prabhupada said, I'll try to marry all the women and I'll try to help all the men remain brahmachari. Krishna would have to help him out on that one. If you don't need to learn the lesson the hard way, don't get married. That's for the few of you sitting here in saffron. But don't be fooled in thinking that the color of your cloth or the respect you get because you are not married is sufficient in and of itself to receive and retain the gift of pure devotional service that Prabhupada is offering us. He's offering pure devotional service, and Varnashram, any of the four ashrams, is meant to be strictly guided by the instructions of the spiritual master so that we can please him. And after giving up this temporary body, go back to eternally serve Krishna. If we're not this body, what are we? We're an eternal spirit soul. Knowledge, Atma Tattva, in and of itself is not sufficient if not combined with understanding of the infallible absolute person. That's a rough paraphrase of a verse by Narada Muni, first canto. Even if you are perfect, as was quoted in the verse yesterday, 7.3 I believe, many of the Brahman realized persons, they don't receive the gift of bhakti. Somehow or other, you and I have been given the gift of bhakti. And it's up to us to open up that gift. The spiritual master has given us a priceless, inconceivable treasure. And we have to open it up to fully take advantage of it. Mamchiyo vivicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kopate. I may be an idiot. I definitely am an idiot. I still am affected by bodily consciousness, but I understand in theory and I am inspired to follow the concepts, the instructions that allow me to gradually realize I'm not the body. There have been many instances, a good number in my life, where I have fearlessly thought I was going to die. It's a good sign. In fact, I can't wait to give up this body. I will be so happy to be reunited with Srila Prabhupada and all his followers. That is an understatement. The Acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta actually says, real grihastha ashram means you can't wait for that family to come to an end so that you can enter into the eternal family of Krishna. In Dallas, Prabhupada gave a lecture about entering the family of Krishna. That's the title, if you want to look it up. And there, we will have our society, friendship, and love that we've been cheated by and slapped and kicked by in this world, disappointed repeatedly, hearts broken by repeatedly in this world, in Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. If that's your heart's desire, if that is the Lord you choose to worship, certainly Prabhupada is stressing Krishna, Yasoda Nandan, Shyama Sundar. There we will have family, society, friendship, and the love for Krishna and all the Vrajvasis will be eternal. You'll not lose your mother or father. You'll not lose your best friend. You'll not lose your consort. Eternally, you'll be surrounded by Krishna and his friends and family. That's what we're all looking for. So how to do it? We have to take seriously the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. If you think you can change the formula, change the instructions or process, you're a bigger idiot than I think I am. Because speculation is what keeps us in this world. Another way to call speculation is the mental concoction of material desires. One Prabhu, I won't mention his name. I'll give an example and then the precept. It's in reverse order, but I'll tell that one Prabhu, when I went to offer him sandalwood, I try to be receptive because I'm trying to please the Vaishnavas when I offer someone sandalwood pulp. Some Prabhus don't like it. I don't understand it personally. But that's the Prabhu. He's an individual and has his relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And so I respect that. But it reminded me of this quote of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it relates to sense gratification. He said, to the degree that I like and dislike, to that degree it's the intervening distance between you and Krishna. me and Krishna. You see, it doesn't really matter what I like or what I dislike. Who gives a damn? It's what Prabhupada likes. It's what Krishna likes. And that's the inconceivable, what do they call those square cubes? Very difficult for Rubik's. That's the Rubik's cube of becoming happy. Give up the desire to be happy in this world. Instead, only desire the happiness of someone else. That someone else being Krishna. If you try to apply that formula in this world with an undeserving personality, they will exploit you to no end, to the best of their ability. Ooh, I got a sucker here. I'm in sales, I see a million people walk in front of me, and a good number of them actually give me money for things they don't actually need. But in the process of doing that, I see a lot of people, and I get to see human nature in so many varieties. And I will tell you that either the woman is wearing the pants and just has her husband by the, I will say, ear, and buy me this. Or sometimes, a lot rarer, you'll see the husband act like a caveman and drag her by the hair. No, you don't need that. I can't relate with either one. I mean, stick to the point, Raj. The point is, we want to please Krishna. How do we know how to please Krishna? I don't see Krishna. I didn't hear him personally speak Bhagavad Gita, etc. You know how to please Krishna by pleasing his representative, the spiritual master. When you make further advancement, then you realize, how can I please my spiritual master? An immediate step is, let me try and please by service the servants of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master really, really blesses us and we get it, then we realize we want to help all those unfortunate, conned tigers, jackals, foxes, and the fools that are being exploited by them. We want to share Krishna consciousness with as many people as we can. That's the mission, that's the mood, that's the fast track to pure, unalloyed Vraja Bhakti. Push the other person up front to the lotus feet of Krishna. That's the Rubik's Cube. By trying to please Krishna, I become happy. To the degree I fudge, roulette, I'll put money both on black and white. Black and red, whatever it is. You can't win. In the incomplete example I'm giving, at best you break even. But there's no breaking even in liking or disliking or trying to solve the problems of this world through material intelligence and endeavor. Because every attempt to enjoy simply heaps upon your subtle body the price tag of having to suffer again, 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 and again. Sometimes devotees, they don't really realize, yeah, I like kirtan, but I like the club too. Or I like my mundane music. Kirtan comes to an end. The music comes to an end. And what's the difference? Prabhupada would always say, you know, our lifestyle, hands down, best in this world, because it's not of this world. But if we aren't realizing this message, because we're not applying it to our lives, as it's presented, half a hen philosophy, well, I'll take the egg laying half of the hen, but I don't want to feed it. I don't want to do the tough stuff. Little bit of inconvenience, the austerities, so-called austerities in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada would say, there's no austerity. chant and be happy. He said, there's no work. This is all bliss. That's the realization of one who is pleasing Krishna always. But for us who don't realize that fully, hedging our bets and are remaining bound in mixed devotional service, then sometimes Maya tricks us and thinks, what's the difference? I'm happy in the kirtan, but the kirtan ends. I like the class, but it ends. Pashana was nice, but now I've got indigestion. And you may be fooled into equating devotional activities with mundane activities. To the untrained, foolish eyes, they look the same. But they're worlds apart. If done properly, bhakti is not of this world. It's pleasing Krishna. He's not of this world. That's why we can't change the process one iota. If you do, you've brought it down into this world. And it's no longer unalloyed devotion, it's mixed devotion. And that inch just gets spread to a foot gets spread to a mile, and you scratch your head. I personally asked Janani Vas Prabhu some years ago, why is it that I'm following the process, but I'm not really making the advancement I want to? And he honestly told me, then you're not really following the process. And he was right. Vaishnava association is essential. Otherwise, we find our comfort zone in this movement, we find our comfort zone in this life, and we try to put roots down there. Don't push me. Don't make me feel uncomfortable. Don't try to cajole me. Come on, I know what you want of me. You want me to do more service. You want me to surrender more. I've seen it all. Very unfortunate when we stay in that fog of attempting to be happy in this life, in this body, while simultaneously serving Krishna sometimes, serving Guru sometimes. Very unfortunate. The proper mentality is when we welcome the chastisement of the spiritual master or his representatives. Prabhupada said the perfection of a disciple is to be always ready to receive the chastisement of his spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya, and he quoted the Bengali, said, my spiritual master considered me a fool. And he never lost sight of that. He never forgot it. If any of you have been personally chastised by your spiritual master, I know my god brothers and sisters who have shared with me chastisement from Srila Prabhupada, you felt smaller than the insects buzzing around in the men's urinal trying to enjoy this material world. You wanted to go under a rock. Or if I had more devotion like my Prabhu Janani Vas, when he displeased Prabhupada, he said, I wanted to jump off the roof. Prabhupada in one purport actually says in that canto describing Paranjan that it is better for the disciple to die immediately if he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Now please do not take that out of context. Vishnu John Swami heard something like that. In the sincerity of his wanting to please Krishna, left and didn't hear the rest of the story. The spiritual master understands. Srila Prabhupada has a mood. He's trying to bring the whole world. Lord Chaitanya wants to bring the whole universe to his lotus feet. So if you have difficulty in Krishna consciousness, that's not to be surprising. It's not uncommon. Prabhupada says money and women, the cause of difficulty or fall down for many a stalwart devotee. So that's not the problem. The problem is if you don't get up. Eighth canto, Gajendra Leela. Prabhupada didn't care what ashram we're in. Just stay in this movement and serve Krishna. Prabhupada, more than anything, wants to drag us back to Godhead, and he will. No question about it, if we try our level best, and if we honestly, submissively, attentively accept the chastisement of the spiritual master, of our God brothers, that we place ourselves in the association of more advanced devotees. It's so important. Then Krishna will arrange, the spiritual master will arrange that our shortcomings become obvious to us as they are to everyone else. And we will try to, by grace of Prabhupada, grace of Guru, rectify them. So important. So, the disease is our envy of Krishna. The result of it is this body and rascal mind that we've given the power of eternity to. Its only business is to keep us in this world. So we have to neglect it to no end. Don't listen to the mind. Listen to the instructions of the spiritual master. If we repeatedly do that, slowly but surely the bodily concept of life dissipates like fog, being replaced ever increasingly by engagement in devotional service. One time Jayananda Prabhu was asked two different things. I'll stick to the simplest one. He was always blissful. And one of his associates asked him, how do you become happy, Jayananda? And most of you probably know this answer. But he said, I don't know. I'm too busy to think about it. Engagement, constant engagement in the devotional service of Guru, Vaishnavas, and Krishna is the solution to our diseased, envious mentality and possession of this form. The body in and of itself is not a problem. Manasa Janma, what is that? Kadapi Upadruvanam. I've slaughtered it. It doesn't matter. Prahlad Maharaj says the human body is temporary and it's rarely achieved, but if used in the service of Krishna, it can be translated into eternal service to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda says, I won't try to sing it, just make the point because of time. He said, I'll take birth as a worm. I don't care, Krishna. It doesn't matter what body, what sex we have, if we have the association of devotees. He prays, just let me take birth in the home of a devotee. That's all I ask, so that I can always hear, chant, remember, and apply the glories of Krishna in my life, the glories of devotional service in my life. So I've probably said somewhat of a splayed out class, but I hope there was something that was of value to you. I'd like to open it up somewhat timely for me. If you would like to question anything, if you would like to add to it, even better after having said what I said, chastise me for some misrepresentation or misunderstanding. The microphone will be handed to you. Thank you.
Hey, Krishna, thank you for giving a wonderful class. My question is that sometimes we try our best to do devotional service, but sometimes the past bad habits comes up and that disturb the devotional mentality and attitude we maintain. And also, even after trying the best, we are not able to execute the instruction of the spiritual master. Do devotional service according to a spiritual master instruction, we are not able to perform accordingly. So how can we overcome all these difficulties in devotional service?
Two thoughts came to mind. One, it's a gradual process. So, of course, we find it challenging. Krishna gave that to Arjuna. He gave him that much. It's difficult. But it's possible with constant endeavor and detachment. Second, when you say, we're not able to, that's your mind talking to you instead of hearing what the spiritual master is saying. There's nothing of this world that can stop devotional service. The only reason why we don't perform devotional service is because we really don't want to. Look at Jayapataka Swami. There's nothing, no matter, no circumstances, nothing that can stop devotional service. It turns out even the madman sometimes, Judd Bart being an example, you don't know what's in his mind? Judd Bart was performing devotional service. It's spiritual, it's not of this world. So take shelter of the transcendental message, the transcendental messengers, and slowly but surely, he will be granted the gift of being able to constantly, without interruption, please Krishna and his representatives. Can you hand the microphone to Leela Avatar? I'd love to hear what he'd like to share. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Sri Gurudev Ki. Prabhupada told, when asked, did you get chastised by your spiritual master? Oh yes. And we all know the story how he didn't actually talk in class. He just turned to an elder godbrother who wanted to tell him something, and his spiritual master chastised him. And he never forgot it. Attentiveness in Bhagavatam is priceless. Just using his chastisement as an example. Hopefully you've all been blessed with such instances. Anybody else? Yes, Mataji. Do you have a microphone, please? Then I'll give it to you. Run! Don't walk!
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your lecture.
Jai Papa.
I have a doubt that sometimes it's in my own case, sometimes I have the hope that, oh, when I die, then everything will be alright and I will be, you know, in the spiritual world. But then I get a doubt about that, and I think that if I'm not Krishna conscious now, if I don't have a relationship now in my heart with Guru and Krishna, then I can't have the hope that...
Can we smash that down without hearing any more garbage?
I mean, I feel like...
Are you following the instructions of the spiritual master? That was what Prabhupada asked one disciple, said, how do I know I'm going back to Godhead? Are you following the instructions of the spiritual master to the best of your ability? I'll put that sentence on the end, to the best of your ability. Prabhupada asked, are you following my instructions? He said, yes. Prabhupada's made it as simple as possible. Chant 16 rounds minimum and follow the four regulative principles. I promise I'll take you back to Godhead in this life. Doesn't get any simpler. The disciple said, no, but how do I really know I'm going back to Godhead? He said, are you following the instructions of the spiritual master? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. But how do I know? That's the doubt, right? How do I know? How can I hope? And Prabhupada said, that's not your concern. That's mine. You do your part, and I guarantee Srila Prabhupada will do his. You don't have to worry. Gold standard on that one. Prabhupada's word is good. Krishna's forced, I read it in a purport, Krishna's forced to take back someone, even if unqualified, when his pure devotee says, I want to bring him back. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now your turn to run. Chandrasekhar Prabhu.
Thank you for your wonderful class, Prabhu. You mentioned the story of Prabhupada chastising Hayagriva Prabhu and, you know, don't change anything. And this theme is very strong, very prominent in Prabhupada's teachings and in our tradition, the theme of, you know, sticking loyally to tradition, not changing anything. At the same time, there's a paradoxically almost other theme where we hear, use your intelligence to do what is best to spread Krishna consciousness. And our whole history of our acharyas is filled with examples of, right, of adjustment according to time, place, and circumstance. So my question is, how does a devotee, individually and institutionally, how do we negotiate this tension between, on the one side, loyalty to tradition, and on the other side, the order to innovate, to adjust according to time, place, and circumstance?
You ask that question a lot, don't you? You wrestle with it. First of all, you can please some people some of the time. You can please some devotees all the time. And there's some devotees you just can't please at all. That's not our business. Our business is to please Guru and Krishna. Prabhupada said the perfection, it was in relationship to omnipotence. Does the Guru, omniscience, does the Guru know everything? In that conversation, Prabhupada said the perfection of an acharya is that he is always engaged in preaching the cult of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who is empowered can preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can parrot the message, or sing the song, or play the instruments. But if you're not pleasing Guru, you're not helping anyone become Krishna conscious. You may entertain them, you may titillate their emotions, or you may stimulate their intelligence. But Krishna consciousness, as I said, is not of this world. It's spiritual. It's, you know, we're spiritual, Krishna is spiritual, devotional service is spiritual. So for those who are trying their best to please Srila Prabhupada, and who want to try something different, all I can say with folded hands is, time will tell. You're asking the wrong person if you want to ask specifics. Because, yeah, no, let me stick with, maybe I shouldn't throw out that artificial humility. But we have had, I have had God brothers who, when they did certain programs in Krishna consciousness that were ridiculed, who were ostracized, and certainly not invited to the temple I was in. And yet time showed that having pleased Krishna with a pure desire to help others become Krishna conscious, many, many became Krishna conscious. And it takes a while for us neophytes or for institutions to understand pure devotees or pure devotion. That's not uncommon, because the masses are going to be less advanced than the pure devotees. It's just the way it is. It's kind of like a pyramid. You know, at the top you've got the moons, and the rest of us can be stars until we choose to follow the example and service of the moon-like devotees. So anyway, not to be troubled. Follow the instructions of Guru, and with the motive of pleasing Krishna. And then, even if you do mess up, because of your sincerity, it will be pointed out to you. There's no loss in this sincere, serious attempt to be or spread Krishna consciousness. Unless you displease your spiritual master. But I think that's what I would share on that point. Ganagamya Prabhu, thank you.
You made one comment in reference to what Chandrasekhar was talking about. That if Prabhupada said, if you change one word of my books, and you said that with such emphasis, I was just thinking, well, are you a 76er? One of those people that doesn't accept the BBT editing? And maybe you could clarify that point, because I recently went to Jayadvaita's seminar on the editing of Prabhupada's books, and I was very, very impressed. And I asked him at the end, have other people who were previously very against changing one word, have they come to you after the seminar and appreciated what you're doing? And he said, yes, several have. Several of the major players in the don't change one word of the books movement have come to him and said, this is a thing. I just want to know, what is your position on the editing of the BBT books?
Thank you. His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami and Dravida Prabhu are both good friends of mine, and I take their association as much as I can. If I thought they were displeasing Srila Prabhupada, that would not be the case. The greatest majority of their attempts to serve Prabhupada in their editing was changing it back to what Prabhupada said. And sometimes, I say this with folded hands, I've not agreed with everything that Dravida Prabhu has shared with me. But that's his service, not mine. I think that one who is not open to hearing the presentation and the reasons why my Gita and my Bhagavatam are different than what it was when I joined, you know, one who can't understand that presentation and how it has pleased Prabhupada, I pray for my God brothers and sisters or devotees who are stuck there. It's a comfort zone of another kind. That's my opinion. So no, I'm totally, I always say, when I do the Prema Dhwani, and it's an addition, so I hope it's pleasing Prabhupada, but I say, ISKCON BBT founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. The letter's posted all over. He wants the money to go to his book, et cetera, et cetera. So, is that clear? My position? Thank you. Your turn, Prahlad Priya Prabhu.
I was wondering if it would be fair to say, this is a comment and a question. I'd been chastised by many of my godbrothers many times, and for some reason, I was not very receptive to harsh chastisement. I would shrivel and just like a tortoise, bring everything inside.
Some reason.
But I wanted to point out that after being chastised severely by
the best seniors,
the best of them, I was placed with Jayananda Prabhu because I wasn't waking up early. And the first morning that I woke up, you know, Jayananda was, Prabhu, Prabhu, it's time to get up. Time. So he coaxed me to sit up, and by the time I was sitting up, he was rolling up my sleeping bag and had a bucket, and he was cleaning the floor. So my question is, can we be chastised by humility?
Chastised by humility? Oh, yeah, that's the best one. Thank you. Thank you, Leela Avatar. It certainly is. Can I see if this relates, because it's a Prabhupada Leela that I just heard. One devotee, this is a common question got asked by many a book distributor. How can I remain humble? Big book distributors, you know, sometimes big anybody in this movement. Sometimes the hat size grows. Sincere devotees don't want to be puffed up. And the question was asked, one Mataji asked it in Dallas. This was a different place. How can I remain humble? Prabhupada said to Hari Kesa Maharaj, tell him what I said in Chicago. Most of us would know, One should be like a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. The addendum that I never heard yesterday, I heard it, and I'm happy to share it. Prabhupada, after saying that, a few moments, the devotee was looking Prabhupada in the eyes, just soaking up what Hari K. Swami had said, and Prabhupada was looking at him in the eyes, and then almost yelling, if I do it, I'll be paying the price of the voice, I'm sure. But he said, be aggressive for Krishna. And this manifests in two ways. Be aggressive for Krishna's service and be aggressive for the mercy of Krishna. So as Lila Avatar Prabhu says, if one is chastising you out of concern for you, that is an example of humility, whether it's done humbly or forcefully. I read the comment because I wanted some inspiration. I certainly need it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to the best of my ability in paraphrasing it, said, if need be, if I am seen as a brute or harsh in my spreading the message of my spiritual master, and as such am forced to go to hell as a result of preaching that message, I will gladly do so. I will even sign a contract to that effect. Even if I have to face the entire world with the empowerment and the ability given to me by my spiritual master to point out their misunderstandings, their ignorance, I will gladly do so. By His grace alone. And if you take that to be arrogant, then I accept it as such. So most of us got down the heavy part. Jayananda Prabhu had the humility. When you're with the humble devotees, as we recognize it by our conditioned nature, they can chastise us. And you don't even realize you just got chastised. And you have to, it usually takes some meditation or some, oh my gosh, he was talking about me. They have, Prabhu's little conditioning showing proudly talked about football. They have this thing I've heard in Great Britain where sometimes opposing teams, they would have knives that were so sharp that they would cut you. The opposing team's fans cut you and be gone before you even realized you were cut and began to bleed. When talking about humility, I mean, one who is 100% surrendered to the instruction of his spiritual master, no matter what size, shape, form, mood, manifestation he comes in, he is truly humble. So, forgive my talkativeness. Does that appease your... I guess, as usual, you can have the last word. She doesn't really, but...
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Please.
Okay, just two little things. There's a quote, I think it's Ramayan.
Speak louder. Into
okay.
It.
There's a quote, what you were saying, Prabhu. The devotee who tolerates the harsh and offensive words of another devotee, and he does it very meekly and humbly, he's the real Vaishnava. That's one thing. And Gurupati, you covered it very well, but would you mind elaborating a little bit on the point? Sometimes... even seasoned devotees will ask, why do devotees have to suffer so hellishly with their bodily problems?
Is it all right if I answer that question to the best of my ability? Why do devotees suffer so hellishly? The reality of it is, devotees aren't suffering hellishly. If we were not devotees, we would really be suffering the due hellish miseries we deserve. That's one thing to remember right from the very beginning. That whatever suffering I have, we want to blame others, but actually the onus lies on us. The buck stops at us. But Krishna is so kind, he is minimizing that tremendously. And we can know for certain he never gives us more than we can tolerate. Never. He doesn't want us to stay in the comfort zone. When we don't learn our lessons voluntarily, then he has to turn on the pressure. One who has realized the lessons he is supposed to be digesting, he doesn't have to go, you know, he doesn't have to suffer as much when one gets the point. If you're trying to potty train a dog, when they pee in the carpet, pass water, you rub their nose in it. If that doesn't do, you get the newspaper, you roll it up, and you give them a good swat. I'm showing my Malecha background. But I think there's validity to what I'm saying. Now, devotee, you can't get away from suffering. That's another aspect of it. We're going to suffer. That's how I started class. It's a hellhole we're in. It's a hellish place. But somehow or other, we're leading a blessed life where it's not that bad. We have to keep our eyes on the goal. It doesn't take so long to go back to Godhead. One life. In a few short months, weeks, days, possibly for somebody in this room. At least we can say for a few short years. And that, after that time, before we know it, we'll be with Prabhupada, with Krishna, with Gauranga. Goloka manifests Leela anyway. I mean, it doesn't take that long. And it's not that hard. We always try to think. The mind tries to, oh, I got it so bad. Nobody else has it as bad as I do. Hogwash. You got the perfect prescription given to you by Krishna. What you need to tolerate so that you can take shelter of your rounds. Take shelter of the books. Honor, not enjoy the prasadam. Take advantage of the association that we're given. All aspects of the process. Do it. And you'll see that our so-called miseries are nothing but the grace of Krishna. We come to understand that by Prabhupada's mercy. Is that good enough? Then...